Good morning. I do appreciate the opportunity for me to come back and to deliver another message from God's Word. It's just as good for me to study the Bible and learn this way as it is, and hopefully you can get something from it like I have from my studies. Back in March of 1998, I obeyed the gospel. And it's something that, you know, you think back on every once in a while and you remember those things that got you to that point. You think about all the people that taught you in Bible study. You think about all the Bible classes you sat through. You think about all of the times you were at services and those people that you looked up to in the group that you grew up in. And all of those things, you try to live off of those things and you try to, I don't know, be that example to somebody else. Well, that was me joining the Christ family. That was me joining the church. But in October of 2008, I joined another family. In October of 2008, I bought myself a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. And that's a family. If you know anything about motorcycles, that's a knit group, and they got their own thing going. Well, some of you guys may know a guy named Julian Owens. He's an elder at the Jamestown Church. Julian also has a Harley-Davidson. And when he found out that I bought a motorcycle, because I idolized Julian in that way, that he had a Harley and I needed a Harley, he took me aside, brought me under his wing, and said, "We're going to have a talk. You got a motorcycle now. It's a lot of responsibility, and you are 19 years old. So we're going to talk about this." So Julian gives me all these things about what it means to be responsible with a motorcycle. You know, ride in a group when you can, because no one sees a motorcycle. Know where you're going, because you can't exactly pull a map out and look. Be prepared for any situation, because it's going to rain on you one time. Avoid bad situations, and always wear your helmet. Seems pretty simple. And me being, I don't know, a new motorcycle rider, you know, I took some of those things for granted, and I learned the hard way on why I should keep rain gear with me. Or I got into backed up construction, and the road's all wobbly, and I got a little Sportster, and I was having a hard time with it. What I ended up doing was I saw all these points that he gave me, and I kind of made a Bible application. So the first one is riding in groups. And I kind of talked about this last time I was here, but if you want to turn over to 1 Kings 19, we're going to learn about why it's important to have fellowship, and we're going to learn about why it's important to be in a group. In 1 Kings 19 and verse 10 starting, we find Elijah here hiding in a cave. Let's start in verse 9. "Then he came to a cave and lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord and the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I alone am left. They seek my life to take it away.' And he said, 'Go out and stand on the mount of the Lord.'" We see that Elijah is all nervous because he feels like he's alone. He feels isolated. He feels like he has no support. We've all been there one time or another. We all have congregations and families that we're part of. But sometimes you just feel like you got no one around you. You feel like you got no one to look to. But we know that it's important to have fellowship with others. If we keep reading here, we see that Elijah got a wake-up call from God here. And he learns that there are 7,000 other people in Israel still. And Elijah thinks he's alone. Same thing here. God sends us out in groups. In Mark 6 and verse 7, we learn he sends the disciples out in twos. Sends the apostles out to teach God. Because it's good to have someone around you. It's good to have that fellowship. Let's turn to Acts 2 and verse 42, and we'll read there about the first century church and the beginning of the church and how they had fellowship with each other. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, they attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day, those who are being saved." Just like with motorcycles, and you want to be in a group, you want to see 7, 12, 150 motorcycles riding on the road because you hear 150 of them coming. Christians, if we are building together, if we have that fellowship together, we can grow. People will take notice of us. People will see us. We talked about that in the Bible study this morning. if you are shining your light and there's a bunch of you together, we're going to make a scene. People are going to see us and we are going to be that peculiar people for God. The other thing that Julian taught me was to know where I'm going. Have a direction. Like I said, it's kind of hard on a motorcycle to pull a map out. I've seen guys with phones out, but that's not a good idea either. But we need to be able to know where we're going. In the Bible, it's the same way. In the Bible, they give us directions for us to look. If we turn to John 1 and verse 1, we learn about the Word. John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Here we learn that the Word is God, that the Word is Christ. And if we turn to John 14, we learn that He's the direction we should be traveling. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." So, we learn here that the Word is Christ, and Christ is the way. We should be following Christ. It's pretty simple. It's a pretty easy roadmap. The Bible is our roadmap. We should be using this to learn and study from God. And we learn about that in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to be studying the Bible so that we know where we're going in life. Because Christ teaches us the way to go. And that way we can stay on the straight and narrow. Another thing that Julian taught me was to be prepared. On a motorcycle, it's more important to check the tires because you only got two of them. So you want to make sure your tires are all the way aired up. You want to check your fluids on the bike. Kind of want to have that raincoat with you. It hurts. Trust me, it hurts a lot. So we need to be having those things prepared for us. And in Philippians 3, we learn about needing to count the cost. Philippians 3 and verse 8. "Indeed, I count everything as loss, but the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of things and counted them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ." So we know that we need to be counting the cost so that we can, you know, be prepared. Also, let's turn to Luke 14 and verse 25. Luke 14 and verse 25 starting. "Now great crowds accompanied him and turned and said to him, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it will begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was going and not able to finish. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he was able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." We used to live in a house out in New Ross, and the neighbor next door to us, all he had was a garage. Massive garage. You could tell he started to build up a property, the foundation was built for the rest of it, stopped at the garage. I don't know why he stopped, but I assume it's this idea that he didn't count the cost. He wasn't able to pay for the full amount. He thought he had it, maybe something happened, but he hadn't counted the cost. And with Christians, we have to know what we're getting into coming into the fight. We need to know, as Christians, what the cost is. And Christ tells us that He's going to set families against themselves because of Christ. And we need to be prepared for that if that's how it comes down. We also know that we always need to be preaching in Romans 1 and verse 15. In Romans 1 and verse 15, it says, So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We need to always be ready to preach. Someone always needs to hear the gospel, and we need to be the one teaching it to them. And in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, we learn that we also need to always be ready to give an answer to anyone. These two things go together about being prepared. With being a Christian, we need to be able to teach and give an answer to someone who has a question. But also, we need to be able to count the cost for ourselves, because it may come trials and temptations for us. That's my next point. Julian told me that I need to avoid obstacles. You're always scanning, you're always watching, you're looking for that pothole coming up. You always are looking for something happening in front of you. In the Bible, we learn that we need to focus to avoid earthly temptations. If we turn to Matthew 6 and verse 19, we can read about that. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust, dust, and where... let me start that over. 6:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There are temptations on earth. There are trials on earth. Things that get in our way as Christians. But if we are always looking forward, we can see those things before they get to us. We can avoid those earthly temptations. If our focus is on heaven, we can get away from those things. But we learn in 1 Corinthians 10 that God gives us a way out. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. We know that God will take care of us. If we trust in him and we have faith in God, we know that we will have the opportunity to avoid temptations. So we ride in groups. We've got to know where we're going. We've got to be prepared. We've got to avoid the obstacles and the temptations in life. But lastly, Julian told me that I got to wear a helmet. I don't like wearing the helmet. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. It's a hot day. It's not comfortable to wear. But we know about the helmet of salvation in Ephesians 6. So just like that, just like on a motorcycle, we got to wear our helmets and our jackets and stuff to protect us. God gives us armor to wear also. Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To the end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, boldly, and proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. We have this armor that we should wear. We should be focused on protecting ourselves, knowing the temptations that may prevail. We need to prevail against the temptations that may ensnare us. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. So while we're putting on this armor, there's a reason we wear armor. It's to fight the fight. Let's read 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and to Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good profession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach when appearing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We put this body, this armor on, so that we can protect ourselves against these darts from the devil. We know that he tries to tempt us. We know that he tries to ensnare us because he wants to win. But if we put the armor of God on and we trust God's power, we can overcome those things. Lastly, it may be that you need to have a map. You may pull over at the gas station, fill back up, and you got a chance to look around. You got to look and see where you're going because you need a plan. In the Bible, there are two destinations, heaven or hell. We read about the straight and narrow gate, and we learned about the wide destruction gate. So we know that there are only two ways to go. There are many ways to go, but there are only two destinations. Many of them lead to destruction, but one leads to salvation, and that's to hear the word, believe it, repent of our sins, confess Jesus Christ, and be baptized. And after that, we need to stay faithful. If there's anyone that has any need today, please come forward as we stand and sing.